Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Standing against common attack, session one, working through our offense. The three areas that we're going to look at in this series are by no means the only ways that you can get beat up by the devil, but they are three common ways that are so common that I would just say all of you will experience these multiple times in your walk if you haven't already. And maybe what we'll do in this series is define little surprises of, oh, wow, I guess I really didn't handle that as well as I could have. Well, the Bible actually has some wisdom on how I could navigate that a little bit differently. And the three areas that we've been seeing lately, and again, it's not just that this is answering a current reality point. These are trends if you're a Christian and you love Jesus. These are things that the enemy brings against all of us in different seasons in different ways. And so the three areas that we're going to look at, we'll spend a session on each one, is this first one. We're going to look at the issue of offense and the ways that the enemy strikes our heart to cause us to become offended. The second we'll look at in the next session is anxiety or becoming overwhelmed, just feeling the weight of overwhelm, the pressures of life, just causing us to be anxious in our soul. And then the third is depression or sadness, just just a feeling of hopelessness and despair. And when you put those three things together, they probably hit a bunch of you in the room right now. You'd be like, man, I've been really struggling with one of those three or two of those three right now. And if you're lucky enough that right now none of those have been coming against you, praise Jesus. You're probably struggling with something else because you're a human. And so what we're going to do in this series is we're really going to be talking about ways that we can stand against common attacks that the enemy brings against us. And a few little common trends of spiritual attack that I'm just, kind of giving some broad strokes, just the most simple little introduction points on. Some of the common trends are spiritual attacks are just mean. They're just mean. Man, they just get you in ways that you don't want to be gotten. They come at you at times that you're the most vulnerable. It's the bully on the courtyard that waits for you to fall off the jungle gym, and then when you're down with the scraped knee, comes over and starts kicking you. I mean, it's just mean. It just waits for you to be blindsided, already down about something or another, and then comes and just waylays you. And spiritual warfare is just is mean. It's dirty fighting. And so the meanness of it ought to tell us, without even looking at a single Bible verse, the meanness of it ought to define for us who the source of these attacks is. Really, no human being could be quite that smart. It's actually the enemy. And so the second is just another little commonality point, no matter what kind of spiritual warfare you're fighting, is the lessons that we're going to touch on in this series and the reality of a spiritual attack, you're going to need to fight again and again and again, 1,000 times in your life. You know, I so wish we could just overcome the thing and be done with it. And it never be an issue ever again in our life. It just isn't that way. The enemy is mean, and he's persistent. I mean, he's been taking notes from God, actually, over the course of the, centuries and eons about how the kingdom of God works. So he actually understands the kingdom and those that are part of the kingdom pretty well. And he knows how to strike us in ways that will actually be successful, in ways that he'll actually have a good shot at taking us out and causing us serious heartache. And so one of the reality points is, whatever we've overcome, there is another fight that is coming again. We're not just done. I wish we were just done, that we could overcome the spiritual attack and then we never have spiritual attack ever again. That's not reality, and don't let anybody sell you that, because that's not true. You're in a spiritual battle until you're dead. And so you're going to have to fight again and again and again. And some people look at that and say, well, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm going to quit on the kingdom so I can get out of the fight. You actually wind up way worse off, because then you're going into battle without any armor or weapons, and you just get the tar beat out of you. There's two ways to go about this thing. Fight and get beat up a little bit, or quit and die. I mean, there's no other way. You're going to have to fight again and again and again. And so if that's not language that you're used to, if that's not a thought process that you normally are thinking about and viewing the kingdom through, I'm sorry, it's part of the deal we signed up for. We became a lover of God, and the enemy hates that. And so he comes against us to try to trip us up. And so we will have to face fight after fight after fight after fight. So really the best plan of action is let's just figure out how to get valiant in battle. Let's just figure out how to fight good, because them fights aren't going anywhere. And so we may as well figure out how to stand our ground when spiritual attack comes. That's my thought process. And so I'd rather be good at it if I'm going to have to do it my whole life through. And then lastly, and this is such good news, the bad news is you're going to have to keep fighting. Bad. Boo. Good news. Every single spiritual battle is overcomable. Every single spiritual battle, you can win. You do not have to die on that field. You do not have to lose there. You can win. It's through Jesus. It's through the name of Jesus. It's through fighting according to his purposes and his ways and his processes and systems that he lays out in the Word of God. But you don't ever have to lay down. You don't have to be overcome and won out and beat down by any one of those spiritual attacks, the three that we're going to talk about in this series or the 100 that we're not. You don't have to lose in a spiritual battle. We've actually been equipped with the Holy Spirit inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. And the one who's in the world is coming. He's raging. He's roaring like a lion. He's coming against us. He hates us. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to devour us. But greater, no matter how great that battle is, no matter how difficult and how powerful that foe is, greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. So you do not have to lose any spiritual fight. So the good news is the Bible gives us tools, and people that have been walking out a little bit and walking this Christian life out a little bit and experienced a few different things, we can glean some things from both the Word and from practical experience to figure out how we can fight and win instead of keep fighting, get beat up, and fall. There are ways that we can actually win this thing. And so I just want to give us the encouragement that every fight there can be victory. And actually, it's the destiny of the Lord for each one of us that we would fight and win and not fight and lose. And really, the only way you lose, just so you know, is if you just give up and just give in. That's really the only way to lose. And so it makes it simple, because the only way to lose is just quit. So if you do anything but that, you win. Congratulations. Now, there's various versions of winning. You know, you come out of the fight and you got a black eye, go, what'd the other guy look like? Oh, he had two black eyes. So you won? Yeah. You could say that. I won. I mean, there's different versions of winning, but there's only one way to lose. Only one way to lose, and that's just give up and let the enemy have his way and just agree with sin and just get the tar beat out of you. And so just don't do that. Just running is winning. Don't quit. You're good to go. So this is good news. So a few takeaways for us, hopefully, in this series and a little bit of tonight's. Hopefully, we'll learn a little bit about how spiritual warfare works. Just look at it. A Bible passage or two, and just see how spiritual warfare works, and that can be a takeaway. And I'm telling you what, if you don't get anything else out of this season or this series, get a takeaway of how spiritual warfare works so that you can understand it a little bit, because you're going to be in the battle all the rest of your days. Second is identify some of the plans of the enemy, just kind of the way that he works. You know, whether he's attacking you in this area, or those 10, there are certain commonalities in the ways that he attacks. There are certain strategies that he has that are pretty normal. And so hopefully we'll be able to identify some of the plans of the enemy. And then three, I hope that through some of this teaching, through some of these scriptures that we can meditate on and we can take away, I hope we can break off some of the chains that some of us have already been in. Some of the ways that we've been getting beat up, that we can actually fight a little bit better, a little bit cleaner, a little bit stronger, and we can come out of the thing and get the chains off. I'm hoping for some freedom, for some breakthrough, not just now, but that you can walk chainless for the rest of your life. The enemy, he's constantly throwing chains at you, but you don't have to let them stick. And if you do let them stick, well, then congratulations, you're chained. So some of us have got some chains on right now we need to shake off, and some of us, all of us, are getting chains thrown at us like a lasso, and we just got to figure out how to get that noose off. And for the rest of our days, figure out how to deflect the chain master who's throwing those things at us to try to get us down and out and out of the game, really. So with all that, let's look at Ephesians 6, passage you guys probably knew we were going to. Ephesians 6, 12 through 17, I've got a little excerpt here, and I just want to look at a couple of pieces. You could probably spend 10 series on Ephesians chapter 6, but I really want to talk on these three points of or these three common areas of attack. And so I just need to give us a little bit of a groundwork out of Ephesians 6. So if we can here, I want to look at that all of these attacks we can overcome. And that there's this passage of scripture that we're going to look at. One of the things that's a big takeaway that we just need to be reminded again and again. I know we've heard it, but I think we hear it and then intentionally forget it 5 seconds after we hear it. There is no such thing as a battle against a human being. Your battle is against demons. It's against demonic forces. It's against the kingdom of darkness. There is no such thing as a battle against another human being. That's not actually real. But we are in a fight. And here's what Ephesians 6 says. For our struggle, it's talking about the believer that's been saved, we're going to live forever. I mean, what in the world could they do to us anyway? We're going to live forever. So put up with a little bit of flack for 80 years. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against humans or an angry dog. Our battle or struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are actually battling an organized kingdom of darkness. There is a real spiritual fight going on. And if you don't know you're in a spiritual fight, can you imagine the guy who's like, he's deaf and blind, and he walks into a battlefield that's a firefight? Okay? Bullets flying back and forth. He's got no idea. Every now and then the ground shakes a little. He's like, what is going on? Weird. He has no idea he's in a battle. That dude's not going to last. I mean, he's out there in bullets. Zoom, zoom. He's like, these bugs are horrible. He's got no idea what he's up against. If you're in a firefight and you are blind and deaf to it and have absolutely no revelation that you are in that fight, you are in deep, deep trouble. I hope somebody either kills you quickly or gets you out of there, because that is a rough place to be. I feel like so many of us as believers, we don't realize we are in a firefight. And so when we hear those bullets flying by, we just call them a bug. When we feel the little tremors in the ground, we just go, wow, that's kind of weird. Rough. And we just pass it off as though, like, there is no spiritual battle, as though we're not in a real battle, a real fight for our lives, our souls, our sanity. And it's like we're just, well, we got saved, and so now we're Christians, but that really doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's kind of like how we feel, how we think sometimes. We're in a spiritual battle for real. And if you're not fighting in that battle, you're like, you're the guy walking around in the minefield and the firefight's going by. There is a real battle going on whether you are fighting it or not. And if you're not fighting it, it's probably beating the snot out of you, because you are in one today, yesterday, tomorrow. You're in a firefight. This is what he says. So Paul gives us some hope, though. He says, hey, it's not so bad. We're in a real struggle. It's really bad. And then he lists off all kinds of high-ranking demonic forces, which you hate to be in a fight with a little demon, but man, it's worse to find yourself in one that's got some rank. He says, yeah, I know, it's rough, it's a bad deal. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. Standing against common attacks. That you'll be able to stand your ground. You know what that day of evil looks like? It's tomorrow. When something bad happens and the enemy is warring against you. You know, one thing about the battle is that the intensity of the firefight isn't at 100% intensity all the time, every day, for every person, all the time. It ranges. The firefight's over here, and now there's a little bit of reprieve. Don't worry, it's coming back. And now the firefight's over here. And now the firefight's over here. And then it's coming back, and it did you double time just to get back over here to this group. And so the point of it is that we're not always in the most intense difficulty fighting against, you know, demonic forces every single day to the same degree as we are at other times. It's a battle. It ebbs and flows. And so Paul says it this way. He says, hey, when your day of evil comes, because your day of evil's coming. Well, I just got done with my day of evil. Good. Take a breath. Get some rest. When your day of evil comes again, here's some equipment so that you can stand your ground when the day of evil comes. All of us are going to face extreme difficulties in this life. Sometimes little ones here and there, sometimes seasons of great pressure. And so Paul says, you want to know how to sustain and stand your ground in the day of evil? Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. Stand firm then with truth, and take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I want to point out just a couple of points here, and I know I'm taking excerpts. I just want to give us just a couple of key points on spiritual warfare and how this thing works. One, truth is essential. If you don't have the truth, the lie will derail you because the lie will make enough sense that it will be believable. The lie, like, you're never going to get out of this. It's going to be hopeless forever. That person doesn't like you. You got funny looking hair. You got all these different lies that are going to come against you. Well, maybe your hair is funny looking. But you got all these lies that are going to come against you. And if you don't have truth to help you stand, those lies will derail you. And so Paul says, if you want to stand when evil comes, when the lies come against you, you need the truth. Now, we all know that, but let me just tell you what that really looks like. If your Bible says it, it's real. That's what that means. You go, well, this passage doesn't seem real. Throw that thought out. It's real. The truth of the Word of God is real. And you have to take the truth up against your circumstances, up against your emotions, up against people, up against whatever. You got to take the truth and go, truth. This is how Paul says I can stand. I can't stand on your interpretation or on my feelings or on this or this circumstance. I've got to stand by the truth. And so it's so essential that we've got the Word of God not only in our daily diet, but that we actually believe it. Think about all the times you've read something and it just didn't seem real. We need to fight to believe what the Word of God says. Because sometimes our frailty, sometimes our weakness, sometimes our experience will tell us that the Word of God is not true and something else is true, and that is a lie. And the way to stand is to take the Word of God and say, it says it. I believe it. That settles it. It's done. You've got to be so narrow-minded. I just want to encourage narrow-minded Christianity. The Bible is real. And anything that says something that's out of alignment with the Bible, that's a lie. That is a lie. I don't care if it's your best friend, your mom, if it's you. That is a lie. If it's out of alignment with what the Scripture says, it's false. The Bible is true. And this will plumb line you. This will give you so much strength because you'll hear ideas that aren't in the Bible or worse, that are in opposition to what the Scripture says. And you can know where to put your flag in the ground and go, the Word of God says this. I don't even get it half the time, but the Word of God says this, so it's true. And so I'm going to do my best to try to apply that reality in my life because that's how Paul says I can stand. Second, the shield of faith, and it's so closely related to the truth because you have to have the truth and then you have to believe the truth and apply it. And here's what happens. Flaming arrows, this is what this passage says. It says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Here's how this thing works. Here is spiritual warfare 101 if you want to know how it works. Satan and all of his demons are bowsmen. They all have bows, as in bow and arrow, okay? Not all bowed up, okay? They got bows. And each one of those demons has a quiver full of arrows, and those arrows have a name on it, and that name is whatever the demon is. So if it's a spirit of fear, he's got a quiver full of fear. If it's a spirit of depression, he's got a quiver full of depression. If it's a spirit of whatever, that's what he's got. He's got a ton of those things in his arrow, and he's a marksman with the bow, okay? And it says this, with the shield of faith, we can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Here's how those flaming arrows work. I hate this for you. I hate it. You are all going to get hit with flaming arrows. You are all going to get hit with them. I mean, they're all going to be coming at you. But there is a way to keep those flaming arrows from causing you sorrow upon sorrow. And here's how it works. That flaming arrow hits you, and if you don't do something about it, it's on fire. Remember? Fire, bad. Now, if the thing just hits you and it's on fire and you take it right out and you throw it away and go, ow, you got a little owie and you will make it. You will survive. Here's the problem. You're all wearing big flannel shirts. And the flaming arrow just hits you, and you look at it, you go, wow, that's unfortunate. Look at that flaming arrow. You got about half a second before now your arm is on fire. And your problem just became much worse. The prudent thing to do would be to grab the flaming arrow, which is stuck in your flannel shirt, which is highly flammable, to take the flaming arrow, throw it out, and start patting the wound. Put a little Neosporin on that thing. Here's how this thing works. You are going to get arrows fired at you for the rest of your life. You have two choices. You can let the arrow that has been fired at you stay in you and catch you on fire. And you ain't going to burn for too long before you're in serious trouble. Or you can extinguish that arrow with faith. Here's what it looks like in the area of offense. We're going to look at it tonight, but a simple little connection point here. The Bible says, don't be offended. Paraphrase mine, okay? Don't be offended. Well, but I want to be offended. Bible says, don't do it. Bible says, don't be offended. Okay, so how does this work with faith? Bible says, don't be offended. So Bible right, feelings wrong. But I feel offended. Tell your feelings to shut up. Because Bible right, feelings wrong. Okay? Yeah, but I'm all offended right now. You got to deal with that thing right now. Take the flaming arrow out, throw it away. Well, I don't know how to do it. Listen, you better try real hard. Because if you allow that flaming arrow to stay in you, it will poison you and catch you on all sorts of fire. And you will be in so much trouble. But look at this. Look at this. Take the arrow out. Apply faith. The Bible says, this isn't healthy for me. The Bible says, this isn't good for me. Pick a sin. Pick a whatever. The Bible says, this isn't good. I'm going to stand on the truth of this. The Bible says, this is the character of God. The Bible says, this is the way in the life of the believer. The Bible says, this is truth. This is reality. I'm going to apply that in the wound, and I'm going to be okay. And I'm going to walk out of this thing with a little bit of a story. Go, hey, I noticed there's a little singe mark on your flannel shirt, and you got a little blood mark there. Yeah, but a whole lot better than it was going to be. And you'll heal, and you'll be okay. Attack, you can't fix. You're going to get attacked. Temptation isn't sin. Jesus was tempted. You're going to get tempted again and again. Here's what it looks like. The flaming arrow hits you, called offense. And the flaming arrow is tempting you. Be offended. Be offended. Be offended. Be offended. You got to say, no, in Jesus' name, I will not be offended. Take that flaming arrow out and throw it. Temptation is not sin, but temptation still hurts a little bit. Temptation still leaves you feeling a little bit icky because you did get hit with something that was tempting you. But temptation isn't sin. Giving in to temptation, that's sin. So now the flaming arrow called offense is in your arm and you let it sit there and you fester. Well, I'm not going to pull it out because you know what? I kind of do feel a little bit upset about that actually. You feed it a little bit. You're putting gasoline on that thing. Kerosene on your arm. Arm, go bye-bye. You are in a situation where that offense is there. It is brooding. It's a poison that's getting into you. It will completely take you over. And when sin seems so appealing, its full reason for existence is to destroy you. I mean, that's the purpose of sin, is to destroy you. It's from one of 100 different angles. There is no such thing as an okay sin. Every sin is going to destroy you from the inside out. The life of the believer is to look at what God calls sin and say, that's sin. I don't even get it. I don't like it. I don't feel good about that. That seems weird to me. I don't understand that. But the Bible says it. I'm going to take up the shield of faith. It must be true because the Bible says it. I'm going to agree with truth. I'm going to take that arrow out. I'm going to throw it away. And you will be all the better for it with just a little mark on your arm instead of a serious issue. Because you can only be on fire for so long before some serious bad stuff starts to happen to you. This is how spiritual warfare works. And now that we've debunked it, all we got to do is recognize when those arrows are coming. Do the best we can to put the shield of faith up to catch them. Dang. Oh, he got me in the side. Oh, that one hurts. Oh, you arrow. Throw it. Repent or whatever. You know, deal with whatever. Ask the Lord for grace with whatever. Apply the truth. Dust off your wound. You're good to go. Get back in the fight. It's when you let that thing hit you. Whatever the sin is. These arrows are sin temptations. That's what the arrows are. They're temptations to do something that's in disagreement with the Bible. Be depressed. The Bible don't want you depressed. God says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always. I'll say it again, rejoice. There's no place for depression. The Bible says, you know, live holy. Man, I'm filled with all these lusts and passions and desires. Man, we've got to deal with that. The offense comes. The Lord doesn't want you offended. He wants you happy-hearted. All of these things, these arrows that hit you, are temptations to get you to sin. And all we got to do is call it sin, deal with it, repent of it, move on. And the reason I say repent of it is because at least if you're me, half the time I leave that arrow in there a little too long. And that maybe that's just me. I wish I was pulling that arrow out. Before it got here, I was a ninja and I just get that thing out of there right as it hit my skin, barely touched me, gotcha. But most of the time I let it hit me and I go, ow. And I go, get it out. Because part of me wants that thing. Part of me wants to be offended or depressed or lustful or whateverful. Part of me. That's where Paul says, yeah, I know, I'm like you. I get it. You're in a spiritual battle. Here's how it works. If you want to stand, I mean, if you want to fall down and die, well, then leave the arrow in. But if you want to stand, apply the truth to the wound. Take the arrow out, extinguish it with faith, and deal with the issue. Okay, let's move on. So now that we've seen this passage here, I want to describe something that will be a common reality point for you. Go, yeah, that makes sense. I kind of know a little bit about that. And that is, what happens when one of those arrows hits you? How can you know? Maybe you got hit by an arrow just a minute ago when I said offense, you got offended at me. I don't know. Oh, man, I'm so offended you said that word. How do we know that we just got hit by an arrow? Here's how it works. Now, I'm ad-libbing a little bit, but let me play, because I think the analogy will help. That arrow is poison-tipped. And when that arrow hits you, you now have poison in your system. That if you don't immediately deal with that poison, the poison is going to cause you serious problems. So here's how poison would affect you. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a movie where they got them poison-tipped arrows or poison this, poison that. Poison makes you feel real sick. 1 minute ago, you were fine. Now you feel real sick. Here's how the flaming arrows of the enemy work. When that arrow hits you, there is a powerful demonic oppression that hits you that quickly. It is an intensified or heightened demonic energy on something. I'll give you for instance. I'm not feeling so lustful. Oh my gosh, I feel lustful! It came on me like a ton of bricks! Probably a demonic arrow. Because you were fine a minute ago, right? Yeah. Oh my gosh, it hit me again! Demonic arrow. Heightened demonic energy. Heightened. It's at peak. You're like, oh my gosh, this is intense. This is so intense. And it wasn't intense a minute ago. Why? Because you didn't have a flaming arrow sticking out of your side. And now you do. Heightened demonic energy. And what that does is it causes you to lose your mind quick. Your mind all of a sudden is like gone. And you're like, oh my gosh, the only thing that matters in my whole life. Nothing else matters. My family, my destiny, the only thing that matters is how I feel right now about this thing. We got to get some sanity here, folks. We got to get some sobriety and go, no, the rest of your life really does matter. And this heightened demonic attack is actually temporary. You know, most of us don't live in prolonged seasons of heightened demonic energy. There's always a little bit of battle going on, a little bit of fight, a little bit of struggle. I get that. I'm talking about that you plumb lost your mind. You are totally in the battle, like, you're freaking out, okay? Heightened demonic energy. That's actually not the normal pace of life. It's temporary. You need to stand against the enemy in the temporary season of the heightened demonic energy. Because that poison, as soon as it hits you, it's its strongest. And when it hits you, you now are all of a sudden super lustful, super depressed, super offended, super whatever. Something the Bible says don't do, all of a sudden you're super that. And you're feeling it in a heightened demonic way because you just got hit by an arrow. And the way that this works is that you take that thing out, you ask the Lord for grace, he's going to see you through. One of the lies that we feel, and if we just do a little bit of like, remember. Like if every one of us would just remember how life has gone. You remember that really, really awful hard thing that happened? Did it last for 10 years? Yeah, it didn't. It was like awful, right? It was so awful. Yeah, for like a minute really in life. It was awful for a minute. This minute that you're experiencing when the arrow hits you and you're super heightened demonic energy, this minute, it's a minute. It's going to go away. I mean, it could be an hour, it could be a day, it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a year. It's a minute. It's going away. The lie from the enemy is the heightened demonic energy is my new destiny and I'm going to feel this way every moment of my life for the rest of my life. And that's not true. You get hit by an arrow. Take the arrow out. Let's get some of the poison off. Called repentance. Deal with the issue. And then let's move forward and the wound's going to heal up and you're going to be fine. we have this lie that the enemy wants us to believe, and that is, I got hit by an arrow, it's all over. My life is over. I'm going to feel this way. It's going to get worse tomorrow. It's going to be worse for the rest of my life. It's only going to get worse. That's a lie. That's not real. You got hit by an arrow. Take the arrow out, brush yourself off, and get back in the fight. The way that the enemy wins is he convinces us that the heightened, the Lord only gives the enemy a little bit of leash. He gets to give us that heightened demonic energy for a minute. The lie is, when that hits us, the enemy wants to convince us it will be at that heightened demonic energy forever. And that's not true. You'll experience it for a minute, a week, a month. I don't know how long it is, but it's a blip in life. We got to learn to take that arrow out. Here's what the Word of God says. We don't have to falter. We don't have to let that thing own us. We don't have to let that thing rule us. We can overcome. You've got good days and bad days and good seasons, bad seasons. I get all that, but it's not like it's heightened demonic energy. We just got beat up. Spiritual warfare is so bad, I just want to die. Every moment of our life, that's not real, and that's the lie the enemy wants us to believe. We can stand against the attack. We don't have to falter. The Word of God tells us if we resist the devil, he will go bye-bye. So important that we understand this. Let's put that up on the screen. James 4, 6 through 10. Another little excerpt here of the Apostle James. He says this, but he gives us more grace. This is God. More grace to overcome. More grace to deal with the demonic attack. More grace to rebound after you've been messing up. More grace. He gives us more grace. Thank you, Jesus. That's why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Here's what it looks like. You get hit by the arrow. Again, tonight, the focus is oppression or offense. You get hit with offense. Take that arrow out. Call it sin. Say, I'm not going to be offended because that's not okay. Take it out. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and strength and grace. That is the act of humility. Going and fixing the problem yourself is you actually doing it out of your own strength and your own pride. Going to the Lord and saying, God, this was tough. I got hit by this arrow. I feel beat up. I'm offended right now. Like, I don't want to be. God, help me. God, give me grace. He says, oh, you're coming to me. The humble thing. You know the way to get to me. I told you in the Bible that I give grace to humble people, but I oppose proud people. But all you Americans down there, you think you can do it your own way? If you'll just humble yourself, I'll give you more. I'll give you more grace. I'll give you more grace. But you've got to identify you can't win this thing on your own. You need me. And if you'll come to me and ask me, I will give you grace. I will give you more. But you must humble yourselves and come to me. And the Lord says if we will come to him in humility, he will give us more grace. He will give us the ability to overcome that thing. No matter how many times those arrows come, no matter how issues we go through, the Lord will give us more grace, but he says we have to submit ourselves to the Lord. And here's what part of the submission process is. Look at this. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Next statement, resist the devil. I kind of have to believe that the statement resist the devil is actually related to the submission to God. Here's what I think we do so many times, because we don't realize we're in the fight. We're in the fight, we get hit by the arrow, and instead of submitting ourselves to God and submitting the arrow to God and submitting the issue to God, instead we just kind of ignore it. And as we do, the enemy starts to devour us. But the Word says, submit yourselves to God in the midst of the attack, in the midst of the difficulty, go to God with humility, ask for grace, ask for help, ask for strength. He will give it to you. And what is the strength for? The strength is to resist the devil. I'm not going to give in to that thing because the Word of God says it's sin. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. God, give me grace now, because I just said a pretty bold statement. I actually need grace from heaven to do it. So God, give me grace now to stand against the devil, to resist the devil, to resist that temptation, to resist it. God, I need grace. Right now, that thing that's in my side, I'm trying to pull it out. I actually want to do the thing. I'm a sinner. I got issues. I actually want to be offended right now. God, help me not want to be offended. Give me grace, God. Give me grace. I'm offended. I kind of want to be offended. Help me not want to be offended. Give me grace. And the Lord says, I will give you grace if you humble yourselves before me and if you resist the devil. And then it says, and he will flee from you. And I'll tell you, sometimes you got to go a couple rounds in the ring with him. I wish it was as simple as, devil, go away, I resist you, and he's gone, and you don't have to worry about him for a year. That would be sweet. If you guys know where that planet is, sign me up. But the way that it works is the enemy comes, and he kind of knows that if he just presses a little bit, most people just give up. So he comes against you, and you resist him, you know, 75%. And then he comes against you again, you got a little less resolve, you get 50%. He comes against you again, pretty soon you just give in. Resist the devil until he goes away. The Bible says the devil will go away if you resist him. You have to resist him. And I don't know if that's for 1 minute, 5 minutes, a week, or a month. I don't know. The Word of God says, and this is part of the truth that we have to equip ourselves with, if you resist the devil, he will go away. He will leave you. And in the midst of this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to the Lord. Instead of focusing on the issue, focus on the God who can fix the issue. Instead of focus on the fact that you're getting beat up, focus on the God who has the grace to give you strength in your inner man to overcome the issue. The Lord says, draw near to God, and the Holy Spirit will draw near back to you and will strengthen you and give you grace to continue to resist the enemy. We can't just resist the enemy. We've got to draw near to the Lord. And if we'll do both of those things in the spirit of humility, the Lord will give us everything we need in order to be able to overcome the attack. Now, let's actually talk about offense. We got a few Bible verses, a couple things that we got to look at here. One thing I'll just tell you is that I think that offense, if we don't take anything else away on the offense issue, let me say it this way. I think that offense is the most deceptive and the most dangerous temptation and sin you can possibly go up against. Part of the reason for that is because the issue of offense leaves you feeling justified to keep doing it. Like, if you're in lust, you make a mistake in lust, at the end of it, you don't normally feel justified to keep lusting. But the issue of offense, it's a cycle. You feel offended. You don't want to stop feeling offended because you feel justified about feeling offended because something bad probably really legitimately happened. I mean, who's offended for no reason? You wake up, I'm offended. It's Tuesday. I hate Tuesday. Tuesday. I mean, who wakes up that way? Nobody. You're offended because something happened. Maybe because something bad happens on Tuesdays, you're upset. But that's not Tuesday's fault. It's whatever the thing is. Most of the time, if you're offended, when I say most, I mean all. If you're offended, it's because something happened that bumped you. We don't like to get bumped. I like everybody, give me my room. Let me do what I want to do. Don't tell me I can't do that. You're offending me. Actually, I'm just allowing offense. Arrow. Look at that thing. Well, I feel so justified right now to be offended at you. You're catching on fire right now. The issue of offense, I believe, is the most deceptive and the most dangerous sin because it will lead you into hell. Clearly, it's just that simple. Nobody turns their back on God without offense somewhere. I love God, I love God, I love God. How are you going to turn your back on God unless offense creeps in? I mean, like, offense is the issue. And it's deceptive because it keeps you in the offense. It keeps you in the sin. It's so mean, it's so dirty. Couple of things. This is not my favorite reality. Offending situation. Situations that will cause offense are unavoidable. It's just unavoidable. They're unavoidable. You will have an opportunity to either be offended or overcome your offense probably in the next 24 hours. You cannot avoid all of them. I mean, you could maybe, set yourself up to avoid certain things and, I get that. That's smart. But overall, you are not going to completely avoid offense. Offense is totally, totally unavoidable in the initial approach. There are going to be 10,000 situations that are offensive to you. They are just offensive. It is impossible for you to have such a happy heart that nothing on the planet will ever offend you, because if someone kills your mother, you're going to get offended at them. And you're going to have to work through that. I don't care how happy-hearted you are. If someone takes that precious thing from you, you're going to have to work through offense. This is life, okay? So we really need to learn how to fight offense, because all of us are going to have to fight offense. All of us are going to have to fight it, and that's a really important reality that we need to stand against this attack, and this attack is completely unavoidable. You're going to get hit with offense at multiple times in your next month of life. Somebody that you know, somebody cuts you off, somebody takes your job, somebody whatever. Things are going to happen during this life that are going to cause offense, so it's completely unavoidable, the situations that are offensive. They're completely unavoidable. How we handle those situations, however, is completely in our own hands. We have control of how we respond to offensive situations, but you cannot avoid offensive situations. So don't think about it as, well, I don't really like to deal with my whole offense thing, so I'm just going to avoid offensive situations. You're going to find yourself offended trying to work away from being offended. I mean, try to avoid offensive situations. You'll find yourself in an offensive situation. You'll be like, oh, this thing get here. I was doing so good. You're going to have to fight this thing. It fills us with that self-justification. I hate this. It's a very unique attack, because when it hits us, we feel justified in being upset with that person, with that thing, with that situation. We feel justified. They did me wrong. Here's what I just want to say. They probably really did you wrong. Yeah. Well, that means I should be offended. Wrong. Wrong. They did you wrong, but don't respond wrong. Don't be offended. The problem is when somebody does something to you that's mean, bad, steal something, talk bad about you, take something from you, when somebody does something that is offense worthy, we feel justified to go, you're bad. It's man, it's toilet paper in your house tonight. There's something in us that makes us feel justified because they actually did something bad. But the Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We try to be God. The issue of offense is actually we're trying to be judge, jury, and executioner. They did me wrong. You die tonight. Or at least your yard after that toilet paper. I'm getting 800 rolls. I'm going to wrap the trunks of your tree. We try to be judge, jury, and executioner. And the Lord says, yeah, who gave you that right? You know how many people you offended this week? Well, I guess I don't want them killing me. So I guess I better deal with this. I'm not telling you that the bad thing didn't happen. It probably did. I'm not telling you that the bad thing isn't a bad thing. It was probably horrible. In fact, you got enough fruit of the Spirit, you're probably downplaying how bad it really was. It was probably awful. I'm sorry, but we can't be offended. We can't be offended. We can't return and respond in offense. You see, when we came to Christ, we laid down our life and our rights. Now, you have a right to live forever and a right to get the snot beat out of you down here. You got both rights. Again, you get to live forever. But you have a right now to live like Christ did, to take up your cross and follow him. He actually said, if you don't do that, you're not worthy to be his disciple. You have a right in this life to lay down your life. Galatians 2:20 tells us that we have been bought, and because we've now been bought, that our lives are no longer our own, but the life that we live now, we now live for Jesus. That we died. We were crucified with Christ. That our lives are over. And now the life that we go on living, we live for the Son of God. And that passage and those concepts, Philippians as well, and other passages as well that talk about that same point, really say it this way. Yeah, bad things are going to happen, but you cannot respond out of the flesh. We got to respond in alignment with what the truth and the Word of God says. So what does the Word of God say? Let's look at some of this. There are blessings and there are consequences for either being offended or for walking without offense, for figuring out how to overcome offense. Very real blessings and very real difficulties. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 7. Luke 7, Jesus is talking here about the issue of being offended. And what it really comes down to, this is one of the interesting points about Christianity, is that when we're offended, if we trace that offense back, we find that we're really offended at God for allowing the thing to happen. God's in complete control. He can do whatever he wants, right? He can do anything he wants. He can protect you from stuff. He can allow stuff to happen. He can keep things from happening. He can do this. He can do that. Offense really comes down to an accusation against God for allowing the bad thing to happen in your life. That's really where offense comes. And Luke chapter 7, 20 through 23 reads this way. I'll read it to you. Luke 7 says, when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you saying, are you the one coming or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you've seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to him. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You know, what in the world is that passage about? What are you talking about? In this passage in Luke 7, here's what's going on. John the Baptist is in prison. He's about to die. John the Baptist is the man. John the Baptist has been preaching about Jesus. He's been telling everybody, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. John the Baptist is the man, okay? And John the Baptist right now is in prison, and John the Baptist knows that Jesus is the Messiah. And these apostles, or these disciples of John the Baptist, they're coming out to connect with Jesus and to ask Jesus some questions. And they say, hey, are you the guy? Jesus goes, in short, he goes, oh, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. You see the gospel's going forth. The lame are getting, are walking. The sick are getting healed. Yeah, I am the guy. And you can see the kind of the inquisitive look come on their faces. And they're like, okay, good. John, he's been kind of like preaching about you and like really going for it. Like he's been probably like the most righteous guy in our generation. He's in jail right now and they're going to kill him. Are you going to do anything about that? And this is what Jesus' answer is. Blessed are those who are not offended on account of me. You mean, we were asking if you're going to get him out of prison. Blessed are those who are not offended on account of me. John the Baptist died. Jesus let it happen. Jesus could have kept it from happening. Jesus could have gotten an army together. He could have sent angels. He could have done it 100 ways. What if it was the Lord's plan that John the Baptist die in that jail cell? It was. And Jesus said, I know that many times in life, you don't like what I do to you. I know. I know many times you don't like how your circumstances go. You wish I would have done it different. I know. I get that. Blessed are you if you learn how to put up with my leadership style. Blessed are those who are not offended on account of me and what I permit in your life, sickness, difficulty, demonic oppression, hardship, pain, somebody beating up stuff, taking your things. Blessed are those who are not offended on account of me because really God is the keeper of our souls and not people. When did people become sovereign gods? Like they're in charge of the planet. They're not. If it happened, God permitted it. God's actually talking about the issue of offense, and he says, if you're offended, ultimately, it's going to get back to me. Because you're going to be offended with that person for doing the thing, and then you're going to start to question me, why did I, God, allow that thing to happen in your life? Do you think I'm a bad God because I permitted that? Blessed are you if you learn to deal with your offense, because I'm telling you not to have offense in your heart. Blessed are you if you learn how to deal with that offense and that you're not offended at me. Offense blocks our joy. Offense deals so much difficulty in our hearts. I just want to read this Matthew 6:14, and look at this passage. Matthew 6:14 says this. It says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, how about this? If you forgive people when they offend you. That's what this is talking about, okay? When people tick you off, when they offend you, if you forgive people when they offend you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Good news. This is great. I love forgiveness. I love being forgiven. Okay, hang in there. But if you do not forgive others when they sin against you, your Father will not forgive you your sins. That's what the Bible actually means, exactly what it says. You forgive people, God forgives you. You hold forgiveness or unforgiveness over somebody else, they offend you, and you hold offense over them, God stops forgiving you. This is serious business. This is why I say it's the worst sin. Right, this is why I say it's the most tricky, most dangerous sin. How about that? Because you wind up feeling justified and God then stops forgiving you. This is real. This is actual. This is Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, listen, it's really simple. Just forgive them. Just forgive. It's really important. Forgive them, and then everything's good. Don't forgive them. You've got 100 issues that you're going to have to face. What else does the word say? Matthew 5:22 says this. Jesus, again, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:22, he says, I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Oh, no. Here it is again, the issue of offense. I'm angry. Anger and offense, it's all linked together. Anyone who's angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, be in danger of the fire of hell. Here's Jesus again on the subject of offense. You're offended at somebody. You think they're a complete idiot. You're offended at how idiotic they are. I'm not saying they didn't do something stupid. I'm just saying we can't be offended at them for it. Well, I'm so angry at this person. Do you know what they did to me? I'm sure it's horrible. I'll listen. I want to be a bro to you. I'll listen. That was horrible. You're right. That was a bad story. I'm so offended at them. Yeah, you can't do that part, though. You can't let that anger rule your heart. You can't let that offense win. It's a flaming arrow that will actually destroy you and cut off the blessings of God in your life. You cannot ever, not one time, let offense rule in your heart. Jesus told us also in the same passage, the next verse, Matthew 5:23, says, therefore, as a result of what we just read, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister is offended at you, you recognize, you remember something happened, some transaction, they've been looking at you funny, glaring at you across the room, growling at you. You know what it looks like. And you realize your brother or sister's got something against you. Says it's your job to go and deal with them because you love them and you don't want them jacked up because you care. He says, if you realize that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go first and be reconciled to your brother and then come back and offer your gift. The issue of offense is such a big deal, you need to go deal with it right now. Don't let that flaming arrow keep burning you, catching you on fire. But go deal with it. You're doing something? Well, something I'm doing is really important. This is an important something. Don't you know? I'm Mr. Somebody. I got my something to do. Stop doing something and go deal with the offense. The offense is so important. It's so crucial. It's life and death. It's so important. Matthew 5:25 says, settle matters quickly with your adversary. Ephesians 4:26 through 27 says, in your anger, don't sin. And don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. This all deals with the issue of offense. Offense is the meanest. It's the trickiest. It is the most just diabolical plot against your soul. Don't give the devil a foothold. We cannot let the offense thing land. I'll just say it this way. I'll end with a couple of examples. I was reading, if you've been around a while, you've heard me say this 100 times because it messed me up when I read it. Corrie Ten Boom and The Hiding Place. You guys have ever read that book? If you haven't, read it. Corrie Ten Boom, she's living in the time of the Nazi regime, and she's hiding Jews in her house to be able to protect them and to keep them. And she's able to be successful in that for quite some time. Eventually, the Nazis, they figure out who she is, what's going on. They arrest her, and they send her to the same prison camp that they're sending the Jews to. And while she's at that prison camp, she went through 1,000 awful things, one of which was her sister died in the prison camp, and she was there for that, watched that, experienced all that. World War II's over, and she's traveling, and she's dealing with the issue of offense. I mean, that to still love Jesus at the end of that deal, I mean, she did real good. Still love Jesus, working through the issue of offense. And the Lord dealt with her one time when, I don't remember the exact situation, but she was encountering one of the guards. This is post-World War II. Everything's over. Everybody's, living in their paneled houses again. Everybody's happy and good to go. She encounters one of the guards that was at the prison camp that was really, in part, responsible for her sister's death. And the Lord told her, you must go over and forgive him and bless him and love him. I just look at that and I go, the Lord's serious about this. And I would just bet that most of us, at least till the last days hit, we're not going to even have a situation a tenth as difficult in the area of offense as that. Go forgive and bless the one who killed your sister and you watched it happen. Go bless them. Actually forgive them from your heart. This issue of offense is so crucial that we deal with it. It's not okay to be offended for 2 minutes. I'm offended. Stop everything. life is on pause. Deal with that right now. Well, I've been working through this for weeks or months or years. Repent this very second. Deal with that offense so that you can wind up getting free. You're in chains right now. You're in bondage. Every situation. When someone hurts you on purpose, you got to deal with your offense. When someone hurts you accidentally, you got to deal with your offense. When someone hurts someone you care about, you got to deal with offense. When someone drops the ball, man, they were supposed to do the thing. If they would have just done the thing, that'd make my life so much easier. They dropped the ball. Oh, forgive them from your heart. Deal with the offense that's in your heart. When someone refuses to forgive you, you ever been there? You go, you do it right. You're like, listen, I dropped it. I'm so sorry I did this. And they're like, that's right. And you're ugly too. You're like, I bless you. I forgive you. But I'm going to do it from the parking lot because I can't have this conversation with you right now. Got to deal with the offense when someone refuses to forgive you. When someone refuses to repent of their sin. They sinned. They did something to you. You're ticked. You're ticked. You got to deal with your offense. Deal with your offense when someone does something that makes you mad. When someone neglects something that impacts you negatively. It's every situation. Offense is a really, really big deal. Let's stand. I want to pray for us.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.